Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst, and I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few weeks, we've been studying Luke chapter 11, verses 45 to 54. The title is Locked Out of Heaven. As we began our study, I said there were several keys that will lead to that result of being locked out of heaven. And I urged us to learn what those keys are so we can avoid them. The first key was the onerous key of obligation. We learned that the lawyers of Jesus' day had made serving God a burdensome obligation, something that was distasteful. In fact, they made it so difficult that many people just gave up trying to live a godly life. And Jesus pronounced a woe on the lawyers for that. We also learned that there are people today who exercise that same key, but they have no joy in Jesus. The second key we looked at was the fallacious key of obfuscation. The lawyers were hypocrites. They acted one way in public, but their private lives were very different. They liked to give people a false impression of piety, but in reality, they were following in the footsteps of their unbelieving forefathers. Now today, we're resuming our study by continuing our examination of this second key. And as we begin, I will read our text, Luke chapter 11, verses 45 to 54. And here are the words of Jesus. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and Pharisees began to assail him vehemently, and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him, and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Look at verses 47 to 51. These verses record the second woe Jesus pronounced. He said they were building the sepulchers or the tombs or the graves of the prophets. They were preserving and beautifying the burial places of the prophets whom their forefathers had killed. So outwardly, they appeared to venerate or honor the legacy of Israel's earlier prophets. And there was nothing wrong with that. In fact, it seemed to show that they disapproved of their ancestors' actions. But Jesus knew, and we know too, this was not the case. He said to them, Truly, you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers. And by this pretense, Jesus said they were witnesses against themselves. So what did they hope to accomplish with this false narrative that they created? Obfuscation. That equals confusion. They wanted to cloud the issues. So they tried to make it appear as though they honored Israel's prophets, when in reality, they hated them, just like their fathers did. And their rejection of John the Baptist, and now Jesus, proved that their hearts were just like their forefathers. Because of this, Jesus said they could be legally charged with the blood of all the prophets, from Abel to Zechariah. If you want to read about the death of Zechariah, you can do that in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verses 20 to 22. 2 Chronicles is the last book of the Jewish scriptures. So in essence, Jesus is saying that from the first murder in scripture to the last, you are guilty. Interestingly, Zechariah's last recorded words before he died were, "The Lord look upon it, my death, and require." In other words, he was saying, "God, hold them accountable for what they're doing." Jesus was showing the lawyers the pattern they were following. The blood of the prophets was perpetually being shed from the beginning of time even to their present day. They were participating in that pattern even while they tried to create a false impression and confuse those who were looking to them as spiritual leaders. Again, I fear this key is causing people to be locked out of heaven in our day. Oh, the details are different, but the results are the same. There are many who claim to be spiritual leaders who handle the Word of God deceitfully. They put on a show of godliness, but in reality, they are far from God. Some of them spend lots of time and energy researching their heritage. They want to be sure and preserve the historical record of the roots of their biological family and their faith tradition. Yet in many cases, they have rejected the clear teaching of Scripture that was an integral part of their roots. They claim to respect the faith of their fathers while walking in disobedience to what the fathers believed the Scriptures taught about faith and practice. And they openly endorse and promote those things that the Scriptures call an abomination. And then there are others who twist the word to promote false ideas about health and wealth. They use the gospel, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:5, as a pretext for their own covetousness. These people call on the poor and the widows to exercise faith in God by sending their largest possible donation. And then they live a luxurious lifestyle, while some who support them live in poverty. Peter describes these people this way: "In their greed, they exploit you with clever lies so they can lay hold of your money." And then there are others, just like this lawyer, whose pious outward appearance masks the depravity of their hearts. Far too many of these people have never been truly born again, and they are thieves, covetous, and abusers of other people. They hide behind a cloak of respectability. They have a form or an appearance of godliness, but the power of genuine godliness is absent from their lives. Paul tells Timothy and us to avoid that kind of people. I grieve for those weak in faith, with little knowledge of the Scriptures, who are unable to discern the genuine from the false. And I tremble at the fate of those who carry and use the fallacious key of obfuscation. Let's make sure we're not among them. The next key is the ponderous key of denegation. In verse 52, Jesus pronounces the third woe. It seems to me this is the most serious offense in the list. Jesus said they had taken away the key of knowledge. So what were they actually doing? They were denying the people entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That's where we get the title for our study, Locked Out of Heaven. That's what denegation is. It's denying someone of something. And that is a terrible weight to carry to judgment. The key Jesus mentions here is not the key to open knowledge, but rather, knowledge is the key to eternal life. And that is a key of great weight. Jesus made it clear in John 17:3, where he said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know you." That's experiential knowledge, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Instead of helping the people to know God, the lawyers and Pharisees obscured the truth by their wretched traditions. And by those same traditions, they also nullified the commandments of God. Later on in Luke's Gospel, in the opening of chapter 17, Jesus said, "It is inevitable that offenses come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Jesus said these lawyers were giving just such an offense. In Matthew 23:13, these men are accused of shutting heaven. Here, they are accused of taking away the key, an even greater offense. They themselves refused to enter the house of knowledge and learn. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul informs us that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so the house of knowledge was right here with them, easily accessible in the person of Jesus Christ, but they refused to enter. They rejected the ministry of Jesus, and they tried to hinder the common people from following him too. I agree with the assessment of New Testament scholar A.T. Robertson, who wrote, "It is the most pitiful picture imaginable of blind ecclesiastics trying to keep others as blind as they were. Blind leaders of the blind, both falling into the pit." And I believe he's making a reference to Matthew 15:14. The lawyers should have recognized who Jesus was. They studied the Old Testament thoroughly and claimed to understand it. If they had accepted Jesus, he would have brought their understanding to a whole new level, just like he did later on for the two on the road to Emmaus. But because Jesus did not meet their expectations and fit within the system of religion they had designed, they rejected him. That's the trouble with religion in contrast to relationship. Religion creates clearly defined structures or processes that attempt to make man acceptable to God. Relationship embraces the provision God has made for our acceptance through Christ and lives in joyful obedience to his commands. I believe that all of us, regardless of our faith tradition, must be like the Bereans of Acts chapter 17 and make it a priority to acquaint ourselves with the Word of God. And we must also help others to understand it. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Locked Out of Heaven. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Locked Out of Heaven. I'd be happy to send one to you. You can also visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Locked Out of Heaven. It's available in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Locked Out of Heaven. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.